The Sanctuary in 2300 Days. Chapter 24. Cause of Our Disappointment. Why were those disappointed who looked for Jesus in 1844? This important question, we believe, can be answered in the most satisfactory manner. Our disappointment did not arise from mistaking the commencement of the 70 weeks. The argument by which the original date is sustained is, as we have seen, invulnerable. Nor did our disappointment arise from a mistake in believing that the 70 weeks form a part of the 2300 days, for every part of that argument, as we have shown, still stands good. These two points being susceptible of the clearest proof, we were not mistaken in believing that the 2300 days would terminate in the seventh Jewish month, 1844. Neither did our disappointment arise from believing that at the end of the 2300 days, the work of cleansing the sanctuary would take place, for it is plainly stated, "Unto 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." But when we said that this earth, or a part of this earth, was the sanctuary, and that Christ must descend from heaven at the end of the 2300 days to purify the earth by fire, we looked for that which the Bible did not warrant us to expect. Here was the cause of our disappointment. For we have seen that there is no scriptural authority to support the view that any part of the earth is the sanctuary, or that the burning of the earth and the melting of the elements, 2 Peter chapter 3, is the cleansing of the sanctuary. By a multitude of witnesses, we have proved that the tabernacle of God is the sanctuary to be cleansed, and that its cleansing is a work performed in that sanctuary with blood and not with fire. Our disappointment, then, arose from a misunderstanding of the work to transpire at the end of the days. Our evidence established two points. Number one, the fact that the sanctuary should be cleansed at the end of the 2300 days and that they should terminate in the seventh month, 1844. Number two, the types in the example and shadow of heavenly things set before us the work of the high priest in the seventh month, that is to say, his act of passing from the holy place to the holiest of all to cleanse the sanctuary. We reasoned that as the paschal lamb, which was slain on the 14th day of the first month, met its antitype in the death of the Lamb of God on that day, and the offering of the first fruits in the 16th day of that month met its antitype in the resurrection of Christ on that day, the first fruits of them that slept, and the feast of Pentecost met its antitype on the day of its occurrence, so the cleansing of the sanctuary in the seventh month, at that time in the year when the 2300 days would end, we believed would meet its antitype at the end of that period. Could we then have understood the subject of the heavenly sanctuary, our disappointment would have been avoided. Our evidence did not prove that our high priest would descend from the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary in flaming fire to burn the earth at the end of the 2300 days. But so far from this, it did prove that he must, at that time, enter within the second veil to minister for us before the ark of God's testament and to cleanse the sanctuary. Daniel 8, verse 14, Hebrews 9, verses 23 and 24. Such has been the position of our high priest since the end of the days, and this is the reason that we did not behold our king in 1844. He had then ministered in only one of the holy places, and the termination of the 2300 days marked the commencement of his ministration in the other. For believing in a literal sanctuary in heaven, consisting of two real holy places, and that our high priest, while at the Father's right hand, is a minister of both these holy places, we are ranked as spiritualizers by our enemies. From this unjust charge, we appeal to the judge of all the earth, who will do right. When John, who saw the door of the first apartment of the heavenly tabernacle opened at the commencement of Christ's ministry, was carried in vision down the stream of time to the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he saw the most holy place of God's temple opened. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there were seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Revelation 11, verse 19. Here by the ark of God's testament is where our high priest ministers since the close of the 2300 days. To this open door in the heavenly sanctuary, Revelation 8, verses 7 and 8, Isaiah 22, verses 22 to 25, we invite those to come for pardon and salvation who have not sinned away the day of grace. Our high priest stands by the mercy seat, the top of the ark, and here he offers his blood, not merely for the cleansing of the sanctuary, but also for the pardon of iniquity and transgression. But while we call men to this open door and point them to the blood of Christ offered for us at the mercy seat, we would remind them of the law of God beneath that mercy seat, which made the death of God's beloved Son necessary in order that guilty man might be pardoned. That ark contains God's commandments, and he that would receive the blessing of God at the hand of our high priest must keep the commandments contained in the ark before which he ministers. Many affirm that God has abolished his law, but this is so far from the truth that that law occupies the choicest place in heaven. It is that justice and judgment which are the habitation of God's throne. Psalm 89, verse 14, 97, verse 2, Revelation 11, verse 19. Two of the messages of Revelation 14 had been given prior to the end of the 2300 days in 1844, as nearly all Advent believers once admitted. The third angel, with the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, gives the last message of mercy while our high priest ministers for us before the ark containing the commandments. While he is thus ministering, the host or church are waiting the completion of the great work, the putting away of their sins. They are in the last end of the indignation, which occupies a space of time, as is evident from Daniel 8, verse 19. The close of the third angel's message is marked by the Son of Man taking his position upon the white cloud, Revelation 14, verses 9 to 14. The last message of mercy will then have closed, and there will be no intercessor between an offended God and guilty offending man. The angels with the vials of God's wrath, who are now stayed by the ministration of our great high priest, will then come out of the temple of God and pour out the vials of unmixed wrath upon the heads of all the wicked. The plagues, the earthquake, and the great hail, every stone about the weight of a talent, will follow. The enemies of God will be destroyed, and the little horn will be broken without hand. Revelation chapters 15 and 16, chapter 11, verse 19, Daniel 12, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 25. The sanctuary and the host will then be vindicated, and all opposing power overwhelmed in irretrievable ruin. Beyond this time of trouble, such as never was, the scenes of the earth made new rise before us. In the midst of that paradise of God, where his saints will ever remain, we behold his glorious sanctuary, Ezekiel chapter 37, Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. And here we leave it, content, if we may be of the number who shall serve God in that temple forever and ever. Revelation 7, verses 13 to 15. The prophetic views of Moses and of Nathan respecting God's sanctuary will then be fully realized. The Lord will reign forever and ever, and Israel will be planted, to be removed no more. Exodus chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Reader, would you escape the things that are coming on the earth? The warning voice of the third angel points out the way. Know for yourself that you have a personal interest in that work which our high priest is consummating before the ark of God's testament. And when he shall come again, it will be without sin unto your salvation. We entreat you, heed not the voice of those who break the commandment and teach men so, for they will soon receive their reward. But rather, unite with those who teach and keep them, and you will have life eternal and free admittance through the gates into the holy city.